Welcome to Ohio's League of Action conference call. My name is Cheryl and I will be your operator for today's call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question and answer session. During the question and answer session, if you have a question, please press star then one on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I will now turn the call over to Kelly Brewington. You may begin.
Thank you all for joining this call. My name is Kelly Brewington, Director of Communications with the All Voting is Local campaign here at the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights. We are pleased to host this telephone press briefing on Ohio's April 28th election, which will be conducted nearly 100% by mail. Joining us today are Vinita Gupta, President and CEO, the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights, Mike Brickner, Ohio State Director for All Voting is Local, Prentice Haney, Executive Director of the Ohio Student Association, and Jen Miller, Executive Director, League of Women Voters of Ohio. Speakers will be available to answer questions during our Q&A session. The operator will advise reporters how you can get in the queue at the appropriate time. First, we'll hear from Vinita Gupta, President and CEO of the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights.
Thank you, Kelly. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm President and CEO of the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights, a coalition of more than 220 national organizations working to build an America as good as its ideals. Our nation is in a state of emergency right now, and so too is our democracy. Last Tuesday, Wisconsin voters lined the streets waiting to cast their ballots in nightmarish scenes for public safety as COVID-19 is raging across the nation. The Supreme Court ruled with Wisconsin Republicans and refused to extend the deadline for mail-in ballots. And as Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg wrote, that meant tens of thousands of people either had to brave the polls or lose their right to vote. And that was a disaster for democracy and a public health emergency for people who literally put their lives at risk to cast a ballot. That should not have happened in Wisconsin, and we cannot let it happen in Ohio or anywhere else. Now is the time to take action. This is why the Leadership Conference on All Voting is Local, with its joint campaign and Still I Vote, launched Turn Up Tuesday. It's a weekly series of events to mobilize communities to turn up to vote and urge decision makers to protect our democracy. Using tools like Facebook and teletown halls, we are going to reach people in their homes. Every week, we're going to focus on the election landscape in a different state. On today's call, you're going to be hearing from Ohio leaders and experts about how lawmakers should best ensure safe and accessible elections. Ohio's March 17th primary election was, of course, as you know, postponed to April 28th because of COVID-19 concerns. And the state is now holding the election nearly 100% by mail. While this approach must be a key part of any election response plan, voters must have a clear range of options, though, to safely and effectively cast their ballots. Focusing exclusively on vote by mail could disenfranchise large swaths of voters who have historically faced barriers to the ballot. Vote by mail systems can create barriers for non-English speakers by not providing adequate translations. Vote by mail also doesn't serve communities well that tend to move frequently, like students and low-income families. Vote by mail can also present unique barriers for people with disabilities, including those who are blind or low vision, have limited or no manual dexterity, and have limited literacy. And surveys show that counties reject absentee ballots at far greater rates for Black, Latino, and other voters of color than for white voters. Studies have also shown that voters of color vote by mail at lower rates, sometimes due to historical mistrust of the postal system and mail-in ballot process. But despite its flaws, voting by mail remains a really important option. There have to be guardrails in place, especially because the state of Ohio isn't mailing voters ballots, but making people request one and notifying them of the process via postcard only. Plenty of people in Ohio have actually never voted by mail and are confused about the process, and confusion alone can suppress the vote. So we are asking officials to make it easier to vote by mail by allowing voters to submit absentee request forms online, ensuring all election mail is postage paid for voters, and investing in public education for voters to know how to cast a ballot, what the deadlines are, and more. There's going to be a lot of Ohioans that are going to vote by mail, but safe in-person voting remains essential. If grocery stores can develop plans so that people can safely shop for essentials, surely we ought to be able to set up sanitary polling places to allow for our essential duty as citizens. There's a lot of communities in Ohio that simply will not have full and fair access to the election without preserving safe in-person voting options. And across the nation, this is a massive undertaking that necessitates adequate funding. Congress recently passed a relief package, but the bill fell woefully short of safeguarding our democracy. Lawmakers provided only $400 million for state election assistance. State leaders, election administrators, civil rights groups alike, we just sent a letter to the leadership conference on behalf of 150 other organizations that have signed on. We are urging Congress to approve at least $3.6 billion in additional funding. With so many logistical and administrative hurdles to resolve, time is of the essence every day that passes for states to prepare for upcoming elections. Wisconsin's really a warning sign, and no one should have to choose between public health and a functioning democracy. The choices we're making now and that our electeds are going to make now will determine not just whether we weather the storm of this virus, but also the kind of democracy we're going to have when it's over. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Vanita. Next, we'll hear from Mike Brickner, Ohio State Director of All Voting is Local.
Thanks, Kelly. Good afternoon. My name is Mike Brickner, and I am the Ohio State Director with All Voting is Local. We work to eliminate barriers to the ballot and ensure that all eligible voters are able to have their voices heard. Ohio's primary election debacle should be a warning to state and federal officials that we must act now to ensure our democracy works for all in November. Voters across the state have been subjected to chaos and confusion for over a month. In the week leading up to Ohio's March 17th election day, over 150 poll locations were shut down and thousands of poll workers dropped out due to COVID-19. On the eve of Election Day, the governor and secretary of state launched a last-minute gamble to stop in-person voting, which then led to a chaotic 13 hours of back-and-forth legal maneuvers. In the wake of the postponed election, Ohio voters did not know when or how they would be able to cast a ballot. Over a week later, the Ohio legislature passed a plan for the primary election that was uniformly opposed by voter rights advocates, the Ohio Association of Elections Officials, and the secretary of state. Under the new rules for the primary, nearly every Ohio voter must cast a ballot by mail, and they only have until April 28th to do so. In its plan, the legislature opted not to send voters a ballot or even a request form, but simply a postcard with information on how to obtain a request form. This postcard mailing did not begin to arrive to voters until the week of April 6th, leaving voters only about 20 days to navigate the multi-step process to get their ballot cast. The primary election has exposed the burdensome maze Ohioans must navigate to cast a ballot by mail. First, voters must obtain an absentee ballot application, which can only be submitted to boards of elections as a paper copy. Voters without printers at home have struggled to obtain applications because traditional community locations, like with printers, like libraries and schools, are closed. Voters may call to obtain an application, but advocates have fielded numerous reports of voters who have waited more than an hour on hold to speak to staff, and other voters who report that the phones simply ring busy at all hours. Many voters have resorted to simply taking a scrap sheet of paper and writing down all the necessary information and sending that directly to their board of elections. Beyond printers, many voters do not have stamps or envelopes at home, and the Ohio legislature failed to offer to prepay postage on absentee ballot applications. Time is running out for many Ohioans. Many voters have reported waiting 2 to 3 weeks for their ballot to arrive. Our elections officials are working hard under unprecedented circumstances, but many offices are overwhelmed. Postal services are also slow, with most mail taking 3 to 5 days. Voters are doing everything in their power to cast a ballot, but amid such hurdles, many could be disenfranchised. I know about problems with the vote-by-mail system from personal experience. I was fortunate to cast a ballot early in person, but my wife did not. She mailed her ballot, her vote-by-mail request to the Cuyahoga County Board of Elections on April 7th, the same day she received her postcard mailing from the state. Yesterday, her application came back returned to sender, soaked with the ink smeared, leaving the address of the board illegible. We mailed a new request for a vote-by-mail ballot again today, but with only 13 days before the deadline, she may not be able to vote. All Voting is Local and our partners are responding to help voters. This week, in partnership with the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights and our And So I Vote campaign, we launched Turn Up Tuesdays, which features a week of programs educating voters and holding officials accountable to improve our election system. Tonight, All Voting is Local will partner with the NAACP and Cleveland Votes to hold a telephone town hall where we will call 150,000 households across the state to answer voters' questions. In addition, All Voting is Local produces a step-by-step video that explains how to complete the vote-by-mail request form. To date, it has garnered over 500,000 views on Facebook alone. Along with our partners Disability Rights Ohio and Milestone Autism Resources, we launched an education campaign to ensure disabled voters can use Ohio's remote ballot marking system, which allows voters to cast a ballot independently at home using their screen reader or other assistive technology. Now, voters who are blind, low vision, or cannot hold a pen to mark a paper ballot can cast the ballot independently from home. In a moment, you'll hear from our partners at the Ohio Organizing Collaborative, who have been leading the Ohio Voter Rights Coalition's texting campaign, urging Ohioans to request and return their vote by mail. You will also hear from our partners at the League of Women Voters of Ohio, who will be hosting a virtual statehouse advocacy day tomorrow to urge legislators to adopt the recommendations of the Ohio Voter Rights Coalition to secure our elections in the future. What is happening in Ohio cannot happen again. Officials must act quickly to ensure every voter can access the ballot. Last-minute action will only lead to more confusion and fewer people exercising their right to vote. Officials must improve our vote-by-mail system to ensure voters can submit applications online, prepay postage on all election mail, and invest in public education to ensure voters know how to use the system. At the same time, in-person options are still important for voters who cannot or prefer not to use the mail system. Officials can act now to ensure that there are multiple early voting centers throughout our counties so voters can safely cast ballots while respecting social distancing. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Next, we'll hear from Prentice Haney, Executive Director of the Ohio Student Association.
Hello. Again, my name is Prentice Haney, and I'm the ED of the Ohio Student Association. We are a statewide youth power organization that is fighting for the democracy of young people on college campuses across the state and fighting for the 400,000 students to have access to voting and making sure voting is accessible for them. The work that we have been doing since March 17th is making sure that young people understand the process. You know, part of the reason why we engage in democracy work as OSA is because we know that when young people enter the electorate and vote for the first time, it's a very scary process. And the process is something that you have to be taught and learn. And we do a very diligent job to make sure that young voters know the process. But on March 17th, when the primary was postponed and effectively moved to vote by mail, we know that 85% of Ohioans vote in person. And many of those people are young people and are voting for the first time. And for Ohio students, since COVID-19's outbreak has happened, all those students have gone home, and the ones who are registered to vote on campus now have to figure out a new process to vote absentee without having the experience of voting by mail at all. And that is very concerning. Many times we think about voting for young people as being able to hold a mic, tell your stories. Elections is where we get to tell our stories and say what we want to see happen. So when we have barriers to the process and we don't make it accessible, it's like pulling the mic away so that our voice is getting smaller and smaller. And we have to protect the process and make sure that it's accessible and that people understand the process, especially young people, so that we don't have a deafening silence in this election and also in the fall election. And so 2 weeks ago, because we were concerned around the public education of this of the vote by mail program, we wanted to make sure that we reached out to Ohio voters directly and let them know the process for, one, requesting an absentee application, mailing it in, and then getting their ballot, and then getting that back in. So 2 weeks ago, we launched a peer-to-peer texting program in our application Outvote, where we've been reaching out to infrequent voters, voters who are new to the electorate, people who if they've not heard from us, they're likely not going to know how to vote in this primary. So since then, we have had over 365 volunteers engaged in our campaign who have reached 225,000 voters, many of which have either not casted a ballot before or had no clue about the process to vote. And through those conversations, those text conversations, we have sent over 800,000 text messages to voters, walking them through the process, answering questions about how you fill out the form, making sure that they know the process of getting stamped, mailing it in, answering questions about their problems. This is something that we know that we can do, but time is running out, and we need to make sure that there is enough resources, public education about the process, and we cannot do it alone. And that's why we've joined with our coalition partners to make sure that we're reaching out to voters all across Ohio to hear about how do you vote, cast your ballot in this election, and make sure that we prepare for the process in the fall. Thank you.
Thanks, Prentice. Now we'll hear from Jen Miller, Executive Director of the League of Women Voters of Ohio.
Hi there, everyone. Thank you to all of the speakers and partners. All the work we do together in Ohio truly is together. To all the attendees, a functioning democracy, well-run elections are essential building blocks to a healthy, safe, and economically vibrant Buckeye State. The League of Women Voters work to protect voters' access and to improve elections is as important today as it has been when we formed 100 years ago in Ohio. We are hearing from voters every day of widespread problems, black and brown and white, young and old, in large cities and rural counties alike. Many voters still think that Election Day is on June 2nd. Others believe that they will be able to show up on April 28th to vote in person. Others think they can postmark their ballot on April 28th. And still, finally, others are just simply struggling to navigate the cumbersome and confusing absentee process. Clearly, there's no perfect way to run an election during a global pandemic, but the Ohio General Assembly has set forth a nearly impossible timeline and process for Ohio voters, boards of elections, and our postal workers. The League of Women Voters actually helped get our no-excuse absentee policy passed in Ohio, but it's a far cry from how states run elections when they are nearly all vote by mail. So tomorrow we will have our annual Statehouse Day. It's something we have done for decades. It'll be the first time we ever host it virtually. We have over 200 attendees registered, and those attendees will learn about various election issues and will be taking action to contact their legislators. They will be asking the legislature to create an emergency elections task force to ensure ballot access for the August and November elections, even if the pandemic persists, to modernize Ohio's voter registration systems, and to pledge to end gerrymandering. Today is an important day where we have to do many things at once. We need to help voters understand how to participate in the primary. We need to protect the rest of the elections this year with the understanding that COVID-19 could still persist. And finally, we need to set forth election reforms so that if there's ever challenges in the future, that Ohio is nimble and can handle them. We are in the age of superbugs and climate change, so more emergencies will occur after 2020. Happy to answer questions.
Thank you, Jen. We are now ready to take some questions from reporters. I will note that, unfortunately, Vanita Gupta had to hop off the call. Operator, can you please provide instructions for asking questions? And for reporters, please note if your question is directed at a specific speaker. Thanks.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your touchtone phone. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset first before pressing any numbers. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then one on your touchtone phone. And our first question comes from Christina Cassidy from Kraft. Your line is now open.
Hi, I'm actually from the Associated Press. Jen Miller, could you please provide an update on the litigation and what the next steps are as far as that's concerned? Thank you.
Right. So so let me just say this. The League of Women Voters right now is not focused on litigation at this current moment. However, that remains an open possibility for us if we continue to see widespread problems. So as we get to April 25th, 26th, 27th, 28th, and we see that a lot of voters still have not received their ballots, are not able to truly access the system through no fault of their own, litigation may be a tool that we use.
And Christina, does that answer your question? Hello, Christina.
Sorry, I was on mute.
Okay.
Yes, I'm here. I'm sorry, I just thought there was pending litigation that was filed prior to the postponement and was wondering
right.
if that was still active.
It is still, it's still open at this point, and we are looking to decide our best movement forward, again, based on what we see with voters' experiences. In that court case, the state assured us that voters would be able to participate in this election, that, that boards of elections would have the ability to administer a vote-by-mail system in 4 weeks' time, even though it's very cumbersome. And so right now we're paused to see if that's what the state can truly achieve. And if they cannot, then we will be keeping that in mind as we move forward with either that lawsuit or a new one.
Thank you.
Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star then one on your touch-tone phone. And our next question comes from McKinney Bryce from Reuters. Your line is now open.
Hey, this is a question for basically everyone. I wanted to check if you guys were able to elaborate on the work that you're doing to get people to turn out to vote, either by mail or in the polls, given that obviously door knocking campaigns cannot take place.
Princess,
Hi,
do you want to start first?
Yeah, good.
Yeah, I'll go. So as I was speaking earlier, we're doing a peer-to-peer texting program to reach out to infrequent and new-to-the-electorate voters. And so the process is essentially shooting them a text message, asking them if they've requested their vote-by-mail application, and then supporting them from that point to the process of mailing it in. And so right now, that's the primary program. We're going to move in the next couple of days into what we call a chase program for people who have received their ballots but haven't turned them in yet. And we're going to do a hybrid of text messaging and phone banking. But I think the most important thing in this moment is learning the kinks in the process, helping volunteers who want to be a part of this process learn how to do it, because depending on how COVID-19, peaks back up in the fall, we'll likely be in a vote-by-mail system then, too. So we want to make sure voters, especially Ohio voters, who for the most part vote in person, know this process now, because it's a likely process that will come up in the fall.
And I'll add to that as well. This is Mike Brickner from All Voting is Local. Specifically for the, millions of Ohioans that have never used vote by mail, we know particularly within the black community that there is a, I think, long and very proud tradition of voting in person on Election Day. And so that's one of the reasons that we're partnering with the NAACP and Cleveland Votes to do the teletown hall that we're doing this evening at 7:30. We're calling into 150,000 households in predominantly black neighborhoods in Cleveland and Columbus and Cincinnati, and we're going to be dispelling some of the myths about vote by mail. We're going to be talking about how the process works and answering people's questions about that. In addition, you mentioned people going to the polls. There are a very limited number of people who are going to be able to vote in person on April 28th. Those are specifically some people with disabilities and some people who are homeless or can't get mail at their voter registration address. And so we're also working with local advocates here in the Cleveland area to assist those people with disabilities and assist those people who are homeless to get them to the boards of elections on April 28th to be able to cast their ballot.
Hey, this is Jen. I'll jump in. Those are really important efforts that I'm personally thankful for. Some other things we're doing as a coalition, we are helping a lot of other organizations understand the vote-by-mail process so that they can inform their members. So, for example, I have a training tomorrow with faith leaders across the state to help them understand the process so they can incorporate over the weekend in their messages to their congregants how to vote by mail. There is a digital dance party, LGBTQ digital dance party, that's going to be super fun on Saturday that will be streamed online and will include messages from Equality Ohio and the League of Women Voters about how to participate. You know, all the little things, you know, making social media posts that people can share, encouraging folks to call their all the folks in their lives to make sure that they are voting. And even another little thing we're doing, because a lot of our members want to get their steps and they're privileged in having printers at home, is we've created flyers, basically a how to vote by mail. And they're flyers that they are printed out and are hanging up in places where other people walking or maybe going or shopping are may be able to see and be reminded. But absolutely, both the process of voting by mail is something that is foreign to Ohio, as is voter education. And that's the inspiring story to tell, is that folks from all corners of the state are trying to come together to help voters participate, even though 85%, as Prentice said, wait and vote in person on election day, and that's only going to be available for a small group of people.
And speakers, at this time I show no further questions in queue.
Thank you. Well, this concludes today's call. Thank you all for joining us. We'll be releasing the audio of this call later today. If you have any additional questions or wish to reach any of the speakers, please contact us at press@civilrights.org or press@allvotingislocal.org. Thank you, and have a great afternoon.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.